Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome Diane Collins. And just to let you know a little bit about her, just imagine if your thoughts were as up-to-date as your technology. Well, this is possible when you quantum think. My guest today is Diane Collins, who's an original thinker and media personality. She's the author of the 6-time award-winning bestseller, Do You Quantum Think? New thinking that will rock your world. It's considered a must-read book for our changing times. Diane's life is dedicated to people living spirited, joyful, and masterful lives through leaps in awareness and learning what she calls the physics of mind. Diane created the Quantum Think system of thinking, which is 21 principles that connect us to living our full potential, from inner serenity to harmonious relationships, business results, and global affairs. In Do You Quantum Think, Diane puts it all together, integrating science, philosophy, and spirituality, and drawing on sources from cutting-edge scientific innovations to the wisdom of the world's greatest spiritual leaders made practical in daily life. Her work makes it easy and enjoyable for us to think in sync with our modern quantum age, to live happier lives with confidence and mastery. And you can reach Diane Collins on her website. Diane is spelled with 2 N's. It's D-I-A-N-N-E, Collins, spelled just like it sounds, C-O-L-L-I-N-S.com, DianeCollins.com. And so let me welcome Diane. Diane, how are you tonight?
I'm really great, and I am so thrilled to be with you, David, and I know that you are I don't know whether you want to mention it, but maybe you should, because that's a very important event that's going on right now in your life. But I also wanted to say that at the time that we're on the air here, I have just been in 2 days of preparing for Hurricane Matthew, which I'm in Miami, Florida. So, you know, it's a very interesting thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we have circumstances. I mean, I'm going right full steam ahead here, but I know that other people have circumstances as well. That it's maybe we can talk about that, David.
That would be a great place to start. Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's true that in life, the only thing that we can take charge of is ourselves, and otherwise, we are challenged to look at all the learning opportunities that come to us from circumstances beyond our control, and things like hurricanes and impending deaths, just to fill the listeners in on what Diane was alluding to. My mother is gravely ill, and so in the unlikely event that the hospital calls me, it would be time for me to go, and we would need to disconnect, but I don't think that's going to happen. So that's what's going on for me. So let's hear about this hurricane and what's going through your mind as far as quantum think goes.
Well, fortunately, I'm in an area of South Florida where it appears that we are not going to get any great brunt of it. We were under a tropical storm warning, and just about a mile north of us, they were under hurricane warnings all over the coast. But I have been, and to her in the Bahamas, very strong force, number four hurricane force, you know, the highest that they measure is number five. So
yes.
We've been through this, and I live with my husband and my business partner, Alan Collins, master quantum thing coach, and we live in a condominium that is right facing the ocean on my, you know, what is essentially Miami Beach. So it's always a little bit scary. We don't have shutters, and but there's a preparation. So, but what happens for me is, of course, it's unnerving, and you turn on the news, and the news on this, they, all of the governors of all the states, because it's supposed to be affecting Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas, that, you know, they always give you, talk about brave, they always, you know, our governor is saying this storm will kill you. And of course, I don't agree with that kind of languaging at all. And then we have what is the conscious, right? What is the conscious, the consciously awakened approach? And so what we do is we meditate. I actually feel we do affect the weather. We're interrelated with all of life, right?
Yes.
And so I start talking to the hurricane. I mean, to some people might think that sounds crazy, but to me it's not crazy at all, because it's all energy, life force from infinite intelligence. And I have friends in Florida, a little bit further up, and, you know, kindred spirits. So we just... we do the same, and everyone who's written to us on social media or on texting, you know, how are you, friends across the world, across the nation, and I just say, let's all visualize this storm, the storm, I don't even, won't even call my name, although I talk to him in the ethers by name, visualize the storm going east, because storms wobble. And so if it goes east, it goes out into the open Atlantic waters. Of course, we don't want it to hit anyone. It's not just, you know, not here for ourselves, but for everyone.
Right.
So that's basically what we've been doing. And at the same time, on a practical level, we do the preparations. We make sure that we have water and enough food. The power, there have been power outages. Thank God, not ours. And you take all the precautions in there that we have to do for, you know, prevent flooding and things. So that's what we do. But I think in consciousness, as you were saying so aptly, is that we may not have control over the circumstances, but we have 100% sovereignty, 100% power over how we choose to be related to those circumstances. And this is where our power lies, in our relationship to our own mind, our own awareness.
Well, I think that is absolutely the truth. And a lot of people that are not consciously aware and fall into fear, whether or not they're aware of that, they're attracting other things to be afraid of. And so I think we need to get the message out that people can take charge of their lives and reframe their thinking and shift their paradigm and therefore shift their reality.
Absolutely. And I was listening to a few of your shows, and I heard you say that a lot of people that call in are, you know, want to know about their jobs. And of course, we all want to know, and how I invented Quantum Think, which I should say is a system of thinking. You referenced it in my introduction. Thank you very much. Is a system of 21 principles and practices for the mind and awareness that leap us to the more expanded and up-to-date, multidimensional, holistic, and holographic world. Let me just say it in a simple way, that I wanted to know, how do we create what we want in life? Everyone wants to know that, right? I mean, we all want what we want, and it's not selfish. It is.
No.
It's in every dimension. It's what we want on a physical basis that we need to live in the ordinary world of the senses. It's on an energetic basis, spiritual, on a soulful basis of how is our soul evolving and how do we guide that according in the highest path to our divine connection to the sacred, all of the above. And, of course, on a soulful level and a spiritual level, all of us want to be able to contribute those gifts, talents, genius, proclivities, passions that we have been born with. And so when people say, you know, I want to live my purpose, it really is, it's a both and. It's that when we take command of what it means to create ourselves as individuals in the highest expression of ourselves, in the most joyful expression of ourselves, that is when we're simultaneously emanating that out. That's our resonant field. That is what then we will attract, but that is our greatest contribution. So you may not, you know, it may not be, you know, that you're saving the whales and the dolphins. It may not be any of these very, you know, large causes, specifically being an activist or taking something grand on, but it may be just in your own way, in your own choosing to live a consciously awakened life, to consciously evolve yourself, to become aware of those talents and passions that you do have, even if you're not doing it to earn money, and, you know, some people don't, but whether you are or whether you're not getting remuneration for it financially, that in your highest state that you are vibrating, in your highest frequency, when we can establish ourselves in that state, that is our great contribution. And how do you think about that?
I totally agree. And I like some of the words that you use. They have a lot of, they all have a lot of power in them. And I think that's something that people might want to take a look at in their own lives, in their own language, in their thoughts, if they can become aware, is that we need to use affirmational, this is my belief, affirmational, positive thoughts and words, and not use anything that disaffirms ourselves or takes us down, because we do have a choice each step of the way, and it's the word choosing that you used that I wanted to focus on, because we do create our own realities. I mean, a lot of people are aware of the law of attraction and Esther Hicks and Abraham and what she would have to say about creating your own reality. And when you were speaking earlier, I was thinking about how some people do not believe that they're worthy of achieving their wants and maybe just focused on their needs, which is all well and good. But it's true that we can get what we want, too, if it serves the highest good for all. And that there's nothing wrong with, nor does God not want anything other than abundance for us. You know, if you choose
right.
to view a higher power as God or goddess or whatever. I guess the question I'd have for you is, do you believe it begins at a mind level or at a spiritual level?
Okay, well, that's a good question. And I like that, because what I mean, they're one and the same. Now, mind, and this brings me to quantum think, because from a quantum think perspective, I think I do have, I became the vehicle that came through me because, and I want to get to the mind and spiritual connection, but let me say this, that so we can all sit here, right? We all say, well, you should think positive thoughts, right? And here's how it works, right? And as you think, so you become, and your habits of thinking give rise to your actions. So I'd say it like this, and therefore all of your results. And so when I was to get back to like on my own journey, David, that I was thinking when I first learned this at a very early age, because as a teenage, I wanted to know, why was there this great gap in the world? Why was there, you know, we had all the wisdom available to us now at the touch of a smartphone and 6,000 years or more, you know, modern wisdom, as you say, channeled wisdom that comes through Abraham Hicks. I love Abraham, and most people do who know of him. And yet we're still not living it. So that's what I want to know. We all know, you know, we shouldn't think lowly of ourselves. I call it in my work, wretched self syndrome. It's got to go. The I'm not good enough and any variation on that theme. So what happened for me is that I came across this, as you think, so you become. And it said in all the major spiritual traditions, it's in the Bible, it's in the Upanishads of the East, the Indian Vedantas, it's in Buddhism. And it's in physics, and that's the important thing right now that I wanted to discuss, because I thought, well, if all you had to do was change your thought to change the world, to change my life, then why does it still look the way it does? And that is when I went on my quest and I made a discovery, what I call my revelation. And I think then I wanted to go into this, and I'll talk about the mind spiritual with it, but because I know that this really is beneficial for people. And of course, that's our intent in being in this conversation on this show. I know that's your intent for your life as it is mine. And so what my revelation is, though we imagine we think freely, we all like to think of ourselves as independent thinkers, right? That we're choosing our thoughts, that to the extent that our thoughts are conditioned, and I'll just say what the difference is, that they're conditioned and automatic and mechanically driven in any way, to that extent, we're not actually at choice. So here's what I discovered.
Right.
I discovered it in talking with who I consider to be a good friend. He wrote the foreword to my book, Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World. And Dr. Fred Allen Wolf, people may know him from the movies What the Bleep Do We Know and The Secret, who's in both of those.
Oh, I love those movies. Yeah.
I know, they're great. And because they're bringing together the spirituality and the scientific insight, which is what Quantum Think is, does make it easy for people. But what I realized is, you know, we were in a conversation many years ago, and he said to me, well, scientists make discoveries. I'm going in a little bit of a circle here, but I'm going to bring it back. He said, scientists make discoveries, and they invent new language to describe the discovery. And then eventually that language seeps into our thinking through the language. So I use in Do You Quantum Think the example that everyone knows, quantum leap. So the term quantum leap, it means an instantaneous shift in the state of energy. And so, of course, quantum think is not about science. It's about how the discoverers of science shape the way we think and how we can use the new science to have us make this quantum leap in consciousness, literally. So the term quantum leap came into the English language around in the 1920s, and it was from a discovery of the father of quantum mechanics, Max Planck, and he said, and when he discovered that energy doesn't move in a smooth, continuous flow, it bursts in leaps in packets of energy that he called quanta, hence the term quantum, and the term quantum leap. And so when you apply this to our own thinking, you realize that you can have an instantaneous shift in the state of yourself. And that we do this all the time, because every time our thought flits from place to place and we give that thought meaning and that gives us our experience and the feeling tone of our being, we're kind of having quantum leaps, but we're not doing it consciously. But anyway, let me get back to the story. So what I realized that when I had that talk with Fred Allen Wolf, that it wasn't just one term. I kept seeing these two realities. I call it a tale of two realities, right? The 3D reality, as people, the consciousness crowd, I lovingly call all of us, relates to it. It's like what you see when you turn on, you know, the evening news or on the internet. And then there's the other reality that you and I are speaking from right now, and all of your guests and your listeners, I'm sure. Our listeners, because we're all in this together, right, David?
Yes, we are.
And so I'm saying, well, how do we converge these realities? How do we make that extension? And why is it that some of what we are talking about is considered woo-woo, la-la land, you know, or does intent really work? You know, I made my, you know, intent and it didn't work, and I can help people with that too. But here's my discovery, is that it's the whole system. So we are in a quantum age. You said at the very opening, what if your thoughts were as up-to-date as your technology? All of our technology is based in the discoveries of, for short, I'm not a scientist, let's call it quantum science, the last 100 years, Einstein and whoever followed him. And it's amazing, and it makes this show possible. Yet, our thinking is still under the influence of the industrial age that started in the 17th century. Now, in the 17th century, the scientists literally declared only physical matter is real. Only physical matter is real. And our entire orientation as a society, how did that assumption that was put forth by scientists, how did that shape the way we think? Unwittingly, it's like in the background, it's not like we're trying to think that way, but it happened, is that it oriented us around the world of the physical five senses, what we call the 3D reality. And so anything that didn't fit into that, which was chronological time, right? How do you make a result in your life? Is you take steps 1 through 10, and then finally you get there, right? And there's still in other words, it's not an either or. I'm just talking about, as a humanity, how we are now on this evolutionary cycle where what's evolving is consciousness itself, that we're taking this leap into the expanded worldview of the quantum worldview. And that's what my work is all about. And to make it easy for people, because I basically like fun, entertainment, and ease, and joy. And I don't think we have to suffer to, you know, figure out how to have a great life. So
no,
this was my revelation, right?
Yeah.
Is that
well, that's
we
a wonderful revelation
been...
because don't you, I think what I'm hearing you say between the lines when you talk about easy, life may not be perceived as easy, but it can be very simple if you follow a spiritual path and become aware and just practice some simple principles that will lead you to greater and greater wisdom. I mean, there's so many sources of wisdom in this world, but inherently it comes from within. And it is just absolutely amazing when we take responsibility for our lives and shift our focus inward instead of outward to the physical, as you were talking about, our reality does change. And we
That's
can
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, here's the thing. The big shift, and then I want to talk about your question, which
okay.
I didn't answer directly, but I wanted to give that background. The big mm-hmm. shift from the what I lovingly call the old worldview to the new, which was classical science. It gave rise to the age of machines, the industrial age. Beautiful. Cause and effect, push on that, and that moves. Well, the quantum world doesn't work that way. And, of course, we're in a time now where everything is speeded up, where we have infinite choice every day because of our technology, where we're in a time of restructuring. I'm an avid student of astrology for 20 years, so I can talk about these energy patterns a bit. And we're in a time where everything is being restructured, the institutions we live in, the education institution, the medical institution, what you and I are talking about now, because we went from a matter where the science, in essence, they said, oh, the world is like a giant machine. Figure out how all the parts work together, click, 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 and we can command and control nature. And it was a predict and control kind of a thing. Cause and effect, chronological, linear time, one-dimensional, physical. Whereas the shift in the model, in the paradigm, in the way of relating to life is the quantum age. What did those scientists say? They said, well, wait a minute, the universe isn't like a giant machine. It's more like a giant mind. It, and by the way, they don't all agree on this, but I'm talking about whom I and you would consider to be the most advanced scientists on the planet today. Oh, it's a mind-based reality. It is consciousness-based, and mm-hmm. there is no separation. There are distinctions,
right.
but no actual separation, so that what we hold in mind, why does resonance work? Why does the law of attraction work? Why do we think, you know, we're receiving, not think, but why we know we're receiving messages from spiritual realm? We're receiving infinite intelligence that we are surrounded because we exist in invisible fields, and these fields are multidimensional, and I've been keep mentioning all the dimensions: physical, energetic, spiritual, cosmic laws, soul, I call the esoteric of the soul and divine, and the virtual dimension of mind. So when we look at, oh, that's the big shift. Well, what if we could, instead of trying to catch up to this expanded reality, what if we could take that instantaneous shift in consciousness and start to look and live from these more up-to-date, accurate principles, which, by the way, the science is now proving the spiritual wisdom. So I know you're going to say something about this, but let me just say, because I did want to answer the question, because you said, is it from the mind or is it from the spirit? Well, when you're living fully dimensionally, I call it living FD, fully dimensionally, then you realize that, I say it like this, it's a paradoxical statement, David. Your
yes.
mind is your life and you are not your mind. Your mind mm-hmm. is your life and you are not your mind. Your mind is your life because what I mean by mind is not the left brain, you know, cognitive mentation. I mean what we hold in consciousness, what we hold in awareness. So your
mm-hmm.
mind is your life because whatever fills your mind is giving you your experience moment by moment. And you are not your mind. You are that expanded awareness that is part and parcel of the unbounded, all that is, all caps, infinite intelligence, divine reality, however you relate to that, is that that awakened awareness, that transcendent awareness, where simultaneously the transcendent, unbounded awareness and the immanent awareness that we, of all the roles we play, our personalities, our personas, our gifts, and what we've been born with in this soul incarnation. So your mind is your life and you are not your mind. So the mind, from a many spiritual traditions that I study, say the mind, meaning your awakened awareness, that's how I'm using this term, mind, is located in the spiritual heart. So when you ask that question, is it coming from the heart or the mind? It's yes. Does that make sense now?
It makes absolute sense, and thank you for clarifying that. It wasn't necessarily a trick question, but it was something that I've had people dissect four different aspects of self, and they've dissected it as such, and that's been mind, heart, body, and spirit. But what you're talking about, as I see it, is the universal mind, which, as I have come to understand, like the universe is constantly expanding as awareness expands, and that there's absolutely no limit to how great it can become. And we can come at it, I think, from so many different vantage points, because, as you said, we're not living in a linear reality. We may experience a lot of duality in this world, but the larger reality is that it is multidimensional, and that there is all that is, which is even more than all that is, when we really get down to brass tacks and just visualize whatever possibilities we can connect with in mind consciousness. What do you say
exactly.
about that?
Exactly. Oh, I love the way you're saying that it keeps expanding and that it's getting, you know, because what is it? That's the number three principle, by the way, in the quantum thing system, is infinite possibility. In every moment, there are an infinite number of ways that you can hold reality. It's like, you know, and I like to use the metaphor of the internet, because where is the internet located? You know, in science, it's called the non-local mind, that our minds are non-local in nature. The nature of it, the characteristic of mind, is it's non-local. What does it mean? It means it, your mind doesn't end at the edge of your skin, at the edge of your body, and it's not located. And that is what enables us to use the five natural faculties of mind that we didn't learn about in traditional education. I want to talk about that because this is very important, what you're saying, that when you look at the internet and you say, okay, what is it? Well, it's the infinite mind of humanity. I mean, you can't really, you know, people try to quantize it, but it's really hard to do that because it keeps expanding. Just exactly mm-hmm. what you're talking about. And so, and then what becomes your reality? Whatever you decide to click on, because it's infinite, right? It's the good, the bad, the ugly, and the sublime of humanity. What are you going to click on? And that our minds work that way too. Now, what I think you brought up about the spiritual and the mind, when you see this, you then, you know, we look at, well, how did the old world, the industrial world view, how did it influence our thinking? Well, they wanted to predict and control. So you could say it was an either or. Is energy a particle or is it a wave? Well, you know, in the new science, they realize it's both. They call it a both and world. We're going from an either or to a both and. And so when people talk about, well, we have to drop thinking and, you know, forget about the mind and come from your heart, well, that's a good thought. However, it's not completely, let's just say, it could be more expansive. Because we're putting ourselves, right? You're getting stuck in an either or because your mind is alive and you are not. Because the fact is that one of the most important activities of mind is thinking. And our thoughts do, I heard one of your wonderful guests, you know, and many people say it, and they've said it in theosophy, and I know you have a great history of wisdom and knowledge. You know, people say thoughts are things. Well, I wouldn't say it exactly like that, but thoughts are realities. And what you habitually hold in your patterns of thinking, in your habits of thinking, do give rise to your experience. And this is how we, you know, what we would call our personal resonance. So this is why it's important, and it's to know none of our fault, right? I say the old worldview, mechanical worldview, not to insult anyone, but in many ways we became mechanical and automatic in the way that we think. And the problem is, David, that we have, not that I want to create, you know, it's a problem that we can solve right now, is that we tend to identify and own every thought that comes across our own minefield. Now, this is what I wanted to say, and I say it almost on every interview, and I've been on hundreds, because I think it's so important, is that when you realize from a quantum worldview we exist in fields, and we are we're connected through the field. We're picking up intel, just like you pick up spirit communications, you pick up thought communications. This is what my view is, okay? I'm not saying I have a scientific proof. I'm from the empirical method. I'm saying this is my own inner knowing. And I know when I say it that people relate to it. I want to hear what you think when I say this, is that many of the thoughts we have are not even ours. Here's the practice. Make a distinction between a thought that just visits from the surrounding mind field. I call it for fun, the thoughtosphere, right? There's a biosphere around the earth, around the body. There's a thoughtosphere. So whatever happens to come into your thoughtosphere, you didn't necessarily choose it. That was the revelation, the myth of choice. And how do you know you didn't choose it? Because would you choose to have a negative, a disparaging, a lowly thought about yourself or anyone else if you were really choosing? Well, I'm asking you because you're my person right now to ask.
I agree, and I could give a demonstration of it in my own life, and that is I have been working on a book called, Awaken to Your Spirit. And I had been collaborating with a world-class psychic by the name of Mary Blake, who also holds 3 divinity degrees and has done a lot of advanced studies in metaphysics. So she has a practical knowledge base, if you will, about things that I've never learned. However, I was the one that drafted the book, and then she went in and edited it, and I wrote about things that I have never learned, and she affirmed that they were true, and she just fine-tuned it like an artist would mold a piece of clay. And so that, to me, is a demonstration that whatever we manifest at a thought level ultimately comes from within, unless we get locked into linear thinking and get blocked by our ego or some facet of our experience that is limiting. And so I think that,
great.
You know, the whole point of my show is that we need to open our minds and recognize that we may have some erroneous thinking. And when you were talking earlier about problems, again, I think that's just a matter of perception. A very wise man who happens to be my father says there's a solution to every problem and usually more than one. However, I've had some life coaches on who say there's no such thing as a problem or a challenge. It's simply a learning opportunity. So, you know, those are just some random thoughts that I've had that have come down through my consciousness and my experience and learning from wisdom from others.
Right. And when you say wisdom from within, because I wanted to go back on a couple of things, that when you say, well, as within, so without, right? As above, so below, yeah. As within, so without. And so when you're quantum thinking, you realize the within is also without. So we're talking about, and I just want to make a distinction between the two different things when I say your thoughts are, you wouldn't choose a disparaging thought, is that we can make a distinction between a thought that just visits that is not the wisdom thought, is just static on the radio of your being, and a thought that originates from you. That's what you were just distinguishing, I think, David, is that this, we all have, it's like we are each a wisdom channel, a unique wisdom channel. And that's what I love about your show, because you really go, you know, straight to the depths on this. And it should be. And it's wonderful, because this is what, you know, can really have us all keep being reflections to each other of this conscious awakening and getting in touch with ourselves at the level where you can express your wisdom and give it to people in a book. So I love what you're doing with you with your writing now. And the thing is that, because I have to tell you something about that I heard, I don't know your other books, but I wanted to ask you something. But what I'm talking about are these thoughts, because the thoughts that are bringing us down, and usually, you know, I don't even usually use that word problem, but I was saying it in a positive way, actually, because it really has to do with intent. But when we have these thoughts that come in, you know, what I call the wretched self, like, I'm not good enough. Will I ever find the right mate? Will I ever make enough money in my life? How will I get rid of, you know, whatever ailment or that has run in my family? It, you know, all these different fears, you know, who's going to become the president of the United States? How is that going to affect the world? All these different, might as well throw that in, right? Because that's going on too. So, but, you know, when we have these thoughts, what I'm saying is that, suggesting, is that we don't have to latch on to those thoughts. My husband Alan and I say, you know, let them fly by like a word, like a bird past your window, like a bird past your window. It's like,
absolutely.
He says, we have these pelicans, you know, they're very big birds that are flying past, you know, on the beach here in Florida. And you don't hop on the back of every bird that flies by. So you don't hop on the back of every thought that happens to enter your own personal mind sphere. If it's a thought that does not empower you, if it's a thought that does not give you an experience that is desired by you, you don't have to identify with it. You don't have to believe it. It's certainly not the absolute truth from a quantum worldview. Everything is energy in flux, informed by intelligence. Everything is shifting and changing. And we, as human observers, get to focus in, just like clicking on the internet, on the reality how we want to be related to it. That's our real powerful way of choosing. And so that's the quick way to free yourself from any limited thinking, not just negative thinking, any limitations that you are putting on yourself because of habits of thinking from the past or that happened to come into, and nobody really knows how did it get there. You know, was it because your mother told you when you were 2 years old you'd never make, you know, you couldn't be that professional. It doesn't matter because we could, the old world view is the view of analysis and we could analyze, we could, you know, infinite possibility. You could make up any reason for anything. Well, if you find a reason that empowers you, that's great. Pick a reason. But we don't need a reason. And so when you're quantum thinking, that kind of analysis is becomes kind of irrelevant because what's important in every wisdom teacher, you know, has espoused this. We talk about the now moment, right? Being in the now moment.
Yes.
And in the now moment, you have that ability to choose, to think what thought is arising in me that is coming from my own spiritual nature. I think that's what you were talking about.
Yes. Well, yes. And what else occurs to me, and it has occurred to me earlier, is how important it is for us to take responsibility for our lives in the now moment and create the reality we desire. You use the word desire for ourselves. And as Esther Hicks would say, there's, you know, you can focus on a quality you wish to possess, whether or not you have it. You know it may be something you wish to possess, like joy. And Esther Hicks would say there's nothing more important than maintaining consistent moments of joy. And so if you can stay aligned with that and be aware when something is draining you or taking you away from your joy, that's where you're giving up your power. And so you need to hold on to your power, as I see it, and reclaim or keep taking steps up the rungs of the ladder back to what it is that you desire. What do you think about that?
I think that is absolutely true. And here's the thing that I love about seeing it as a system. Like when you, the quantum thing, I call it a system because a system embraces you. It's like a vortex. So even, you know, everything in the universe occurs as a system, right? Weather patterns, everything, the planets, and everything mundane occurs as a system, right? Because you have a shopping list, you go into a market, and you don't have to look through thousands of products on the shelf because there's a system. So you still have free will, free choice in the system. And so how do you maintain, how do you establish, I like the way this a lot of the spiritual masters say it, you know, it's not just to be in that enlightened state, but to be established in that state, in that awakened state. Established. I love that word.
I do too.
Because it's like awareness, okay, that's good that you as a start, but how do you become established? So this is the idea of the system. So when you learn, for example, that we were brought up in a you know, the industrialized nations in this culture where in the traditional education, now today, mindfulness became very popular, so all the kids are now learning to meditate, thank goodness. But, you know, not in every school. They've even thought, oh, don't give them yoga, but the religion or whatever. But I wrote a little bit about that in my book. But now we were brought up where, is it a matter-based society? It's a mind-based society. So what do you learn in education, the matter-based society? Learn about the brain, maybe the brain connections. You didn't learn the faculties of mind, what I call the five natural faculties. So this is part of the system. The faculty of intent. Intent is the activation of the energy intelligent field. So when you have, and I make a distinction between intent and intention. Intention being the measured end result. Okay, intention is also a pattern of energy. But intent, I use in the more shamanic sense of an activation of your personal energy field. So if you put it into, let's just, as you brought up that a lot of people who call into your show are interested, you know, well, how will I get a job? What will my job, right? And so let's say you have an intent that you're going to have a job this year that you love, right? Before the end of the year, let's just say. So that would be an intention. An intent, a statement of intent would be saying it, as we all know, as if it already is happening in the omnipresent tense, ever, always active. And you may say it like this. You would say, I'm thrilled with the way my career expression is unfolding. I'm thrilled with the way, you could say it many ways, but I'm just trying to give the example. So I'm not saying, I'm happy, thank you, God, I got the job I love, but that's in the sub, that's in it. It's in the field. And
well,
then
you're claiming
have,
it as if it already exists in the here and now. You're claiming something that you can believe to be true, and therefore creating a vortex where it can manifest.
Exactly. And it's the same when you brought up about Abraham, Esther Hicks, that, you know, how do you remain established in that state of joy? Well, one thing is the knowledge that we are that, fundamentally, we are that state. It's not like the outer circumstance is going to give it to you. So it's really a revealing of that state rather than trying to get to it. Who we are is the state of joy, is the state of health. And then everything else just covers over it like a cloud covering the sun. And then it gets revealed. So that's one way. Is to live
let me
that
just,
intent.
Let me just ask you a question for a minute, Diane. I want to hear the other four ways, and we do have some callers on the line. Are you willing to go past the one-hour mark?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, great. And just to Patricia out there, if you want to talk to Diane, please give me a signal by calling back in, because I'd love to have your input if you're interested. And Deanna, I see you there too. So please continue.
Okay, great. Well, do you want to take the calls, or you want me to say the other four?
Why don't you say the
mind?
Other four things first, and then we'll take the calls.
Okay, good. So the first one is intent. Okay, the directed attention and awareness. Okay, that we are the focal point. We are divinely bestowed with the ability to create with the power of intent. Okay, the second one is intuition. Now, everyone on your show, of course, is familiar with that. And the intuitive faculty, I feel, is one of the most important faculties to learn to use. And it's also one of the quantum thinking principles, intuition and non-locality. And what I'm making the point in there is to learn to use our intuitive faculty as a way of life. And you can start off using it in a disciplined way by consciously using it. And the reason I think it's so important is because the world is speeding up, because we have infinite choice and complexity, which is good, and it also could be overwhelming, is we can't, you know, the step-by-step doesn't always work in every situation where we need to get to the knowledge fast. So that's the intuitive faculty. The third faculty of mind is subtle energy, and you really alluded to it earlier when you said, you know, about tuning in. That is our faculty that enables us to tune in, that when you walk into a space and you can feel that space is clear, is it muddy, is it, you know, or you see a group of people, you know, in one corner, you're at a party, one group, you don't even have to hear what they say because you can feel the energy of that group. They're happy, they're exuberant, the other group is grumbling, they're complaining. You didn't hear them say a word. It's not it's not in that rational logic, but that's the subtle energy. You look at something, a piece of fruit you want to buy, and you can energetically tune into it. And there are other things where you can learn, you know, energy, as we know, can be transmuted. It can be taken to a higher state. So if you're in a negative state and you're from, and you are distinguishing, as we are right now, your faculty of subtle energy, that faculty of mind that you know you have the power to transmute, your depressed state, your frustration, into a higher energy frequency state, into one of the higher emotions of joy, compassion even for yourself is a high, very high state. So that's the third one. So we've got intent, intuitive, subtle energy, the fourth natural faculty of mind. And this is just a way that I made of distinguishing to make it easy for people. There's nothing absolute about anything except maybe what we think of as God. But other than that, we create distinctions using language to be able to give us greater access to the richness of life. So the fourth one is resonance. Now, resonance, we know, is the power of manifestation. We know it. And, you know, it's interesting, from in science, they don't use the term law of attraction. That's more a universal law, spiritual, esoteric way of saying it. But in science, they use the term sympathetic resonance, which is, it means that whatever is in a similar frequency range energetically will, does attract. Or you can, you know, why does the opera singer shatter the glass? Because that voice tonality went beyond the frequency of that glass energetically. So this resonance is, of course, very important. Now, all these five faculties, by the way, are related and they work together. So when you think about your create a statement of intent, that is generating consciously a resonance, your own resonant field, and what we know, what we resonate, we emanate, what we emanate, we attract. And the fifth natural faculty of mind, meditative faculty. Now, meditation, obviously, is everybody's familiar with it. There are many forms of meditative practices. They're all wonderful practices. They're important practices because they help to condition us to get in into that place within, that often called the still point, that point when we say, I feel centered. What are we centered in? Present moment awareness. And that the meditative faculty helps us. Now, the reason that I call it a faculty of mind is I feel that it's natural to us. It's not just something we do. It's something we are. We are that meditative faculty. So when we can simultaneously be living in that meditative state while still being fully, you know, fiercely self-expressed in the outer world, what happens is these other faculties that are the faculties of creation, the faculties of mind, mind creates intent, we have a clearer connection. Without the static on the radio of our being, our intuitive faculty, it works better. Why? What are we connecting to? We're connecting to information, intelligence that is part of the all that is, the infinite intelligent field, the divine intelligence. When we create an intent, that opens up a direct connection to a field that is within that sympathetic resonant range, right? In a frequency range where we're going, we're we're attracting in, you know, like in science, they say it's a quantum science is a science. It's a science of possibility, but it creates probability wave fields. So when you create an intent, you're not just getting one result. That's why it's important, the allowing faculty.
Mm-hmm.
I know Abraham talks about allowing. I have that as one of the principles in quantum think. Allowing is a very important, because that's where you're listening. That's where you're listening. Okay, divine spirit, tell me, or my angels, or whoever it is that you're invoking. And all of this works more efficiently, more effectively, when you can maintain and in your own meditative way of being. So those are the five faculties.
Well, thank you.
It's a lot said, but
infinite number of questions. But let's go to the phone lines and see what Deanna might like to comment on or ask you. And I guess the only other question I would have for you at this moment in time would be if you'd be willing to come back next spring so that we could continue the discussion, because I have more questions.
Oh, I'd love to. I would always love to be on your show with you and with your listeners.
Great. Well, let's take a call from Deanna, and I'm bringing her live. And Deanna also is in Florida. We'll have to ask her how the weather is where she's at.
Oh,
hi,
yeah.
Deanna. How are you?
That's great.
Hi, Diane. We've spoken, I'd say, a couple years ago at Scott's show. And I know you're in the Gables, and I'm in Aventura.
Well, I'm in Sunny Isles Beach, actually, close to the Gables. Where are you?
Aventura, across the mall.
Oh, you're right. You're a few miles away.
Yes, ma'am. And I decided I'm going to listen to the show until the phone gives out, because I always learn things. And then I start linking my own thoughts to what you say. So you're talking about stabilizing at one point, I believe you did. No, you talked about establishing.
Right.
And I was thinking stabilizing. When we establish, we make something stable, because my what I work with are words, and words are thoughts. So
right.
I really liked everything you said, especially about you're talking about being in sync, about sympathetic. I just took so many notes.
Sympathetic resonance. Well,
yes.
I love what you're saying about, you know, I love what you added, which really enhanced it, to think of it that way, Deanna, the stabilizing. Because it really is, when you become established, you become stabilized. And I think that's such an important thought, because when we think of it, you know, I just got the imagery of a pillar. It's like to be that, or, you know, when you think about the, you know, in yoga, when you call it the sushumna of the chakras, you know, like where the energy is rising, and it's like a pillar of light, and it's a stabilizing force, so that as we're going through this very chaotic restructuring period that we're in right now for humanity, as we're going from the industrial age to the quantum age, where our institutions were born under the more limited thinking from the past, and where we need to update everything, that it really is such a benefit to us to be able to stabilize, as you say.
And when you're stable, you don't have static.
Right.
It just flows.
Clear.
Like a vertical. Yeah.
Standing wave. What do you do that you say you work with words?
I'm an interpreter.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I presently work for the court system as a contractor, but I'm always interpreting everything I hear and adding to that thought my own, adding to whatever there is, my own thoughts and my own versions, my own versions of this.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Well, it's beautiful and to hear you, actually. You know, you're talking about intention, intent. I was thinking I am thriving when you were saying I'm thrilled. I am thriving. Mm-hmm. When you're thrilled, you are energized, right? You're feeling the electricity inside. When you're thriving, you're not just energized, but you're also growing, expanding.
Beautiful.
Just what you were saying, Deanna, was filled with expansiveness. That's what I was picking up on. When you talked about adding to thoughts, you're expanding consciousness in that moment in time.
It's like we're tuning in to the common denominator for the good of everyone.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
That's
beautiful. And you know, I love it, David, what you said about that Deanna, because I was saying, well, you're certainly in touch with a very important aspect of your unique purpose, Deanna, which is to expand upon what you hear. And I'm sure as an interpreter, right? Because our purpose is expressed in many different ways, but you can see the connections of it. It's like, you know, in astrology, you connect the patterns of your life. But in this conversation, in the totality of this conversation, where you were said so eloquently earlier in our conversation about consciousness and all this, that in it keeps infinitely expanding your awareness. And here it is, right, happening right now.
That's right.
You know about resonance also, even in the Bible, that's the first thing it talks about. The word in the beginning. It's about it's about resonance.
And there's word too.
It's about resonance.
Yep.
Well,
our ideas are expressed in words because we cannot reach one another telepathically. That's why I believe the Tower of Babel was not able to be constructed, because it came a point when we stopped communicating intuitively and we had to start using words, and that's where communication broke down a lot.
Well, that's why we have, that's why it's important to relate to life as fully integrated. You know, we have integrated circuits and technology. We can learn from our technology, where it's when you put the heart, right? When you have the heart in it. And, you know, there's a distinction in the quantum think system that I call the four aspects of knowing. How are you related to what you know? And the four aspects are what you know. What I mean by that is what you hold in your awareness, what you know. It could be anything. It could be a goal. It could just be anything. So how are you related to what you know? Because this relates to what you're saying, Deanna. You're related in unawareness where here are the four. Unawareness, related conceptual knowing. You're related in intuitive knowing, or you're related in participatory knowing. So what you're talking about there, where we got a little lost, and that has to do with the industrial age also, is that you get lost in conceptual relating to things in conceptual knowing, where it just is a mental construct, where things are separate from us. So people could say, oh, well, it's just a word. Well, it could be just a word. You know, that's true too. But when you have intent, that's participatory knowing. The fourth aspect of knowing is the domain of intent, where you know yourself to be the seed, the blossom, and the fruit of your experience. Or in the words of my friend and mentor, Dr. Fred Allen Wolf, there ain't no out there, out there. You know, that's part of the observed and the observer are one. What we bring to our observation is what we get. But what you're talking about, where when you see, you know, people who are proclaiming, you know, how their faith, a faith-driven life is so important to them, and then they're, you know, trashing each other, right? I think I'm talking about politicians. No, but I don't want to care. But this is what I mean by...
That's what gossip is all about.
Excuse me? Say that again?
Everybody does it. That's what gossip is.
Yeah, yeah. So this is where I mean where, you know, I wrote it very early in my book, maybe there's nothing wrong with us. Maybe it's just that we have reached a point in our evolution where we can be go beyond that mechanical, conceptual, crusty separation consciousness reality. And that's where we are right now. And this is the beauty of your show, David, and the way that you're thinking, Deanna, and is that, so what I'm here, I'm here, part of my message, I'm on my soapbox to say, there's nothing wrong with any of us. There's nothing wrong with you if you have a thought. There's nothing wrong with these, you know, it's like, we have to really transcend the us and them, either or, you know, the enlightened ones and the unenlightened ones. No, it's like we're all here as aspects of expressions of divine source. And so I say it like this, you know, we're all waking up. Some of us already realize it, and some of us haven't realized it yet, but we're all waking up. And so to actually live the highest virtues is to see what's going on and have total compassion for it. Now, the reason that I, you know, created that distinction in the quantum think system is so that we could get access to that in ourselves, to go, quantum think is a mastery practice. So when you see, oh, I'm in a conceptual reality about that, it's separate from me. I'm not really feeling it. I'm not in the experiential knowing of it. Then you realize with intent, you can go to a more integrated place within yourself. So when you see that this is what's going on in the world, right, the conceptual reality, we can bring the real compassion for any of us, for ourselves, who are still, you know, who are on this path of mastery and say, oh, okay, well, I screwed up, I gossiped. You know, that I don't want to gossip. Okay, well, I had a thought that, you know what, I don't have to own that thought. Let me think, you know, let me go on, let me focus on something I do want.
I like that because I...
Let me see it from another angle.
Go ahead.
What I'm saying is, let me see it from a different angle.
Yes. Yes, and that's a very compassionate way to look at it, so that you're not beating yourself up for having screwed up. You know, it's just another wake-up call, learning opportunity, moment of awareness, whatever you want to call it.
Exactly.
One last thing that I wanted to say, I think your fourth is the most important of them all, participatory. Because if we all participated instead of trying to control everything, just be a part of it, things would be, you know, more cohesive.
That's exactly right. And it doesn't mean, you know, but participatory knowing, again, you're expanding on it. I love it. This is what it is. When you're in participatory knowing with something, it's, you know, it's going to happen. So participatory knowing, let's say with this storm, right, who you and I are sharing the,
yeah,
thank God, not too dramatic effects of it. But you look at this storm, Matthew, and I say, okay, Matthew, you know, time to get tired. You're getting a little tired here. You know, you got to start breaking up and moving east. And do I, you know, am I in participatory knowing? Was I like, I said to my husband all along the last few days, it's going to move east. Well, it didn't look like it. They kept saying, well, it's moving more west. I kept saying, Alan, it's going to move east. And then about 2 hours before the show, 3 hours ago, whatever, and he said to me, he turned on the update. He goes, well, you're right. It moved east. And so it was like, did I do that? I don't know. It wasn't me alone. We're all participating. We're collaborating on, you know, we're co-creating reality here. But did I, in thy four aspects of knowing, did I participatory, would I say, if I was in my own program, were you in, you know, where were you with regard to the storm going in the other, you know, not hitting here? I would say I was in intuitive knowing. I wasn't fully in participatory knowing, because participatory knowing is like solid like a rock. It's like if you're in a part of the world where you know that you are going to be able to eat today, that's participatory knowing. I'm using a very common example. So it's like you're not even thinking about it. It's like you have an intent. You're going to be, you know, getting the proper nutrition, and you don't think about it. You just know it. And so you're right. It, Deanna, it is the most important aspect of it, because when you're operating from conscious intent, this is what gives you participatory knowing. And we can move ourselves. These are not even, they're not linear or sequential. It's just to give yourself, to use your words, David, a learning experience. It's to say, okay, well, I've had an intention, a goal, to get a new job. Where am I with regard to that goal? So it's like, let me reflect on it. Am I in unawareness, which is flotsam and jetsam on the sea of life, you know, like a leaf in the wind, you're not even, whatever circumstance comes your way, you're reactive. That's unaware knowing. And when you realize you've been in unawareness, that's the paradox, is you're no longer unaware because you woke yourself up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, I've been in. Right?
Absolutely.
No longer drifting.
But you can take yourself somewhere when you say, oh, what's in about my goal for a new job? Oh, I've been in conceptual knowing about it. What does that mean? That means, oh, that's a good idea, but you know, it's kind of very separate from you. You're not, it's not in the feeling tone of your being. You're not feeling it. You're not in the experience of it. You're not even like in an intuitive knowing, like, yeah, I really feel it. Like something is happening here. So you could, we can move ourselves. And I, you know, I really love what you're doing, David, with your show and your message, that we can be responsible in the best way.
That's absolutely.
I know it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I like what Deanna was saying, because I think through that participatory knowing, the experience of that brings us back to a point where there is no separation, and we become integrated as one. Which ultimately we are, with that one mind that we were talking about earlier. I'd like to thank you for calling in, Deanna. It appears Patricia would like to participate for a moment, and we'll wrap up the show in 10 minutes, if that's okay, Diane.
Okay, I just have to say solidarity is solid, becomes solid.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Beautiful. I really enjoyed everything you had to say, Deanna. Thank you.
Thank you. Blessings.
Blessings to you, darling. Be safe. Think positive.
Yes.
Visualize.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, let me know on Facebook. Absolutely. And let me know on Facebook how you're faring, because I don't pay any attention to the news.
I don't have a TV, so, you know. thing here.
No, but just send me a message on Facebook tomorrow to let me know all is well, as I trust it will be.
I will. Thank you.
Okay,
blessings
thank you, hon.
You.
Okay, God bless. Okay, let's go to Patricia. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, David. I've just been listening. I didn't. I wasn't going to talk.
Hi, Patricia.
Oh, right, we've got you now.
I really, really enjoyed this very much. Thank you for informing me that your guest was going to be on, because it's right in line with everything that we talk about. In fact, she sounds like she sounds like a unity minister. Is what she sounds about. I really, really enjoy you verbalizing at this time that our spiritually or the worldview and the of science, which seems to be in the atmosphere at this time. There are a lot of workshops and seminars about science meeting spirituality, and your idea bringing forth of creating what you choose to think, the mind, and that bringing that to the forefront, and that it's just getting kind of fumbled up in there. But you're
no, it isn't.
We're not in tune spiritually. We're advancing where we're not keeping. I don't know, the physical world that has been created is not in tune to where we really are spiritually, and I love that term you use, the quantum thinking, and relating that to quantum leap that we know about in science, and this combination that we're getting in sync or getting closer to science is getting. In the beginning, there was no science. In the beginning, it was all spirituality. And what we call science was spirituality. And now what we call spirituality is science. And people are thinking that it's something new, and it isn't.
Right. And it's the re-merging. It's reconvergence. You're absolutely
yes,
right, Patricia.
Yes, yes. And for many, many, it was never, it wasn't buried. And thank the universe, thank the spirit, thank all of it. Like, I love that you said whatever you want to call it, just the awareness of getting rid of that, and the other caller that about the participating and being one and dropping the control, because we don't have the control
and dropping the judgment too,
and the judgment and the control and the power struggle which is created because we the ego. It's in there trying to control, which is all out of fear, out of this created world that is not even real. I just really, really am so. It's wonderful that there are the aware community, and like you said about the storm. Did I do that?
we all did. Where are you?
Not, yes. It's just like being in that university think tank when you hear the energy coming from you and people like you and that whole university of energy. That is out
beautiful.
There, and David's show indeed helps to bring a lot of that open energy into this on air, over the wire university think tank. And
yeah,
he
does.
For him to be a friend and wonderful, wonderful guest, and it's great sharing with you Diana,
thank
is
you
it
so
a,
much. Diane, yeah. Yes, Diane Collins.
Yeah.
And thank you so much, Patricia. And are you part of Unity?
I have observed that philosophy, and it's mm-hmm. a lot. I'm learning to take what I need and leave the rest. And I'm finding that I am a universal international spirit floater, and I'm floating because I'm seeing that I can't be. I see that it's okay not to to participate in a universal spiritual way, and not the spirit can't be controlled into any institution. But I like
right.
has been the philosophy. It sounds like some of the principles of creating. I create what I choose to think. Thoughts in mind is those are some of the principles. So
right, exactly. And thank you so much for that beautiful recapping of everything. And I really appreciate the acknowledgement. And you know, one thing that I didn't mention, but my mission, if I accept it, which I did, I know I'm here for this, is that I wanted us as a humanity, I'm talking about, to go from merely knowing the wisdom conceptually to
yeah.
actually living it, to actually
yeah.
being the walking, talking embodiment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actualizing
and
it, self-actualization.
That is my work. That is what Quantum Think does. Quantum Think is not just a term; it's a trademark. It's a system of these 21. I call it 21 plus one, probably numerologically 21 plus one principles.
Mm-hmm.
And practices that combine, as you were talking about, scientific insight, the modern scientific insight with spiritual wisdom made
yeah.
practical so that we can live it. So what happens when you're reading, do you quantum think, or soon I'll have a video course on the Daily Om website in the beginning of the year. But what happens is that you connect, it's what you're saying, like you say you're floating, it's like it doesn't belong to any one tradition, it doesn't belong to any one institution, but the various traditions and the institutions and all the different, you know, organizations that are being formed today that I call lovingly the consciousness crowd, that are wanting to,
yeah.
I call it the consciousness, wanting
yeah, wonderful.
To bring this new consciousness as our way of life
yeah.
on this planet, as you say, so that we can be in sync with the profound spiritual nature of who we are. And so in what I call living the wisdom, but I forgot what I was going to say to you, but basically because what happens is, in the art of distinguishing, and this is the importance of shows such as David's, and yours is definitely, you know, one of the best I've been on because of you, because the host is really the context for the show. So your expansiveness, of course, makes all the other dialogue possible. And
thank you
for that, David. And, what happens is that when I call in quantum think the art of distinguishing, a new worldview of learning.
Mm-hmm.
So the
and
quantum
you are
worldview,
a minister, amazing.
Thank you. That you bring something. Here's the art of distinguishing. You bring something into your awareness in the present moment in such a way that it alters your relationship to it, of course, for the better, for the higher. And so this is what happens in these kind of conscious conversations and with thank you so much for calling in, because you said, oh, you're going, see, what you're saying, you're creating it in this moment. And so it's authentic. It's real. And you're connecting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not just giving some party line, you know. So that's how it's coming across. So this is what we do with one another. And when you have this experience, whether you're reading Quantum Think, whether you're in these conversations, whatever else you do, there's plenty of good things to participate in, that we give ourselves an experiential awareness. And this is what I have found. This is what integrates. So, you know, you could talk about what is it like to, you know, have spaghetti in Rome, and, you know, and until you go there and you experience it, you just talk about it, you see the picture of it, you know, someone gives you a whiff of it, but you still don't know it in your being until you experience it. But in the realm of consciousness, we can create that experiential awareness. Mm. And that is what puts forth the transformation.
Wow.
Well, you know, I think that's a beautiful place to stop for now, because we could go on for hours.
I know. And I have to go, Tim. We have to go check the hurricane report.
Yeah.
We have dinner here.
I so appreciate your input, Patricia and Diane. It's been such a pleasure to have you with me tonight. And I appreciate your willingness to be on the show again. And so I would like to call you back. Would this be the number to call you at that you called in on?
Yes, it is.
I'll call you immediately after
you
I close.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, we'll make it short and sweet.
Okay, good. Now I know my husband's in there waiting for dinner. But yeah, we'll make it short and sweet. I'd love to be
good
on
night,
the show.
Good night.
Again.
I'm off.
Appreciate. Good night, Patricia.
Good night, Patricia.
Okay,
God bless.
Right back.
Okay,
will do. So, once again, we come to a close. Let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night and God bless.